Rejoice always. Rejoice always. That is the command that is given to us by St. Paul in our second reading for this week. In fact, this third Sunday of Advent, we refer to as Gaudete Sunday, which means Rejoice Sunday, especially as we reach the halfway point of Advent. And admittedly, that's a pretty strong command, to rejoice always. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't really feel like rejoicing very much. Furthermore, there are lots of stressors, especially this time of year, that can make it very difficult to rejoice. But that's because we often have a very exterior understanding of rejoicing. Instead, we need to understand it from an interior perspective. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the cause of our rejoicing can't just be from exterior things that happen to us. Of course, there are things that will happen to us that will make us rejoice, especially happy things that occur in our lives. But as we know, we have happy moments, we have sad moments, we have moments where we're angry, moments where we're frustrated. A whole gamut of emotions, sometimes we can feel them just even throughout the course of a day. And so our rejoicing can't just be solely based on what happens to us from the outside. It has to come from within. And from within is where we will find our peace. And if we dig a little bit further into St. Paul, we can discover what he means by this. So after he says to us, rejoice always, he tells us then to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Which doesn't mean that we stop living our lives. Doesn't mean you have to go live in a cloistered monastery somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to be in the church all the time, although certainly some people are called to that life and some people spend more time in the church than others. It doesn't mean we stop living our lives altogether. But what it does mean is that in addition to any quiet, meditative prayer or recited prayer that we might do, we have the ability then to offer our lives and our actions as a sacrifice to the Lord. So then everything we do can be a prayer to the Lord. And we're actually called to do this in a very specific way during the season of Advent. Advent actually has a bit of a penitential character to it, although it's a little like Lent, although it's not quite as strong as Lent. We're still called to offer sacrifices and penances and things of that nature to help draw us closer to the Lord, to prepare a space in our hearts for the coming of the Lord. And so this can be a time to be able to practice, to prepare for the rest of the year to be able to do that, to think about that in a special way, to pray unceasingly. Further, St. Paul then tells us, in all circumstances, give thanks. And the reason for this is, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So what giving thanks does is it acknowledges the will of God is active in our lives, that Jesus Christ is working even if we don't see it. And so even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of difficult moments, when we have to endure the cross, we can give thanks to the Lord and acknowledge that he's working in our lives, in all circumstances, to give thanks. Then St. Paul offers advice about the Holy Spirit. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything and retain what is good. So that means that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And everything in our lives really is guided by the Holy Spirit. Our prayer, our actions. But we have to take time to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And so we need to make quiet time for the Lord. We need to also read and encounter the Lord in sacred scripture, because that's where God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us, who's the principal author of sacred scripture. We also need to pay attention to what others say. These can be those prophetic utterances that the Lord, that that St. Paul is talking about. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that we automatically hear in prayer or everything that someone says to us automatically comes from God. That's why St. Paul says we have to test it. Because it can come from God, that's true, but it can also come from ourselves. We're pretty great at deceiving ourselves when we really want to, and just listening to our own voices. It can also come from the devil. It can come from other spirits, like that might be speaking to us that are not of God. That's why we have to attentively listen and pay attention. And a simple way to know whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, whether it's through scripture, quiet prayer, or even just people speaking to us, is to note the fruits of the Holy Spirit that accompany that. So those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That can help us to know, okay, I think the Spirit is speaking here, or maybe it's something else going on here. So if there's sadness or bitterness or other things, it's probably not the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But it's all about being attentive to that, making time to listen to that. Then St. Paul says, refrain from every kind of evil. That's his final piece of advice. And so if we are listening to the Holy Spirit, if we are paying attention to what the Lord is doing in our lives, a natural following from that will be that we will live the moral life of the church. And so what this means is to simply do good and avoid evil. Do good and avoid evil. It's kind of a simple maxim to summarize that. And it's doing it through God's grace. And again, if we're living the life of the Spirit, that being able to do what is good in our lives and avoid things that might lead us to sin will be a natural following from that. So pray without ceasing, giving thanks, following the Spirit, and refrain from every kind of evil. That really is our spiritual program for interior peace, or at least that's a really good start anyway. Now we have to remember that in all of this, that God is in charge. He's the one directing it. The spiritual life is not a self-help project. Not something we can just will ourselves. Prayer and actions of the Holy Spirit aren't something we will. They are gifted to us by God. And so if we acknowledge that, we note then that it actually takes the burden off us for one thing, but it acknowledges that God is the one who's going to make us perfectly holy. He's the one who's going to preserve us blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence that God will do it. Because he's God, because he's faithful, because he's loving. If we just trust him and surrender ourselves to him and allow for him to work in our lives and listen to what he's doing. So it is the Spirit who leads us to interior peace, and that allows for us interiorly to rejoice always. But this is also why this is important. Because when we have a sense that God is in charge, we have a sense that we know God is in charge, then we can have a greater sense of confidence in knowing who we are before the Lord. And the two models, the two examples that we get from that are John the Baptist and Mary. John the Baptist, who we see again in our gospel, he comes out of the wilderness, comes out of the desert, and he baptizes. And it's very clear that John the Baptist knows his mission. He knows who he is. He knows what he's been called to do by the Lord. So much so that the Pharisees and others are wondering who this guy is. They ask, is he Elijah? Is he a prophet? Is he the Christ? They think he's even a little weird, probably. But John the Baptist knows his mission because he's been anointed. He knows the Holy Spirit. He's been following what God has prepared for him. And when we follow the Spirit, that's true in our lives too. We know who we are. Mary too is another good example of this. Now, we don't see Mary directly in our gospel today, but in our responsorial psalm, what we get is Mary's Magnificat. This is when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth, And then after she sings this very beautiful song, which I would encourage you to meditate on at some point, because it's very, very beautiful and very reflective. But Mary says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." Again, Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She has Christ dwelling within her. She's very confident in God's love for her, and she knows who she is before the Lord. She knows what she has been called to do. And she's called to intercede for us to also know what we're called to do. So a question to ponder is, do we know who we are before God? Now you may think, well, I'm not John the Baptist. I'm not Mary. They're clearly greater figures than I. However, really what they're doing is just following what the Spirit of the Lord has called them to do. It's not really complicated. We also have the same mission. When we follow the Spirit, we have a greater sense of who we are. We can have that confidence of knowing who we are before God. So if we don't know or we're not really sure, then try living the life of the Spirit as you conclude this Advent season. See where the Lord is moving you in your life. Pay attention to what the Spirit is doing. And see if that happens, if you find more interior peace in your life by knowing that you are following what the Lord is doing. And you won't be swayed as much maybe by the winds of the world, by all the different things that could put pressure on us this time of year. Rejoice always. It is a command that is possible with the grace of the Lord.